The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I played for you an interview I did with the author, just a brilliant PhD, Carl Truman, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, which really goes back several hundred years to talk about the issue of, well, today it's all about who you perceive yourself to be. It doesn't matter what your body says. It doesn't matter what chemistry says, biology, the genome project. None of that matters. You get to define your own reality. Whether it's transgenderism, homosexuality, whatever the case may be. And that was a fascinating interview. Brilliant guy, incredible book. So if you need some help and want to understand that topic and where that started, kind of the rise and triumph of the modern self, our autonomy, continuing to raise our fists in the air and tell God to mind his own business, we'll decide what our own reality is. That was really a precursor, and it's something I've talked about for years on this show. But have had the pleasure and the honor of hosting many people on the show that have been down that road personally, like my friend Walt Heyer. His story started when he was four and then full transition, sex change, and then sex change regret. And he's spoken all over the world. He's in his just turned 80 in the last year, just an incredible person. And a lot of people that have been down these roads that speak from experience, and then God calls them into ministry to use that experience to try to help others. And as somebody that has a lot of high school students, I've got about 113 that just started in class, seven classes this past week. Over the last several years, when we start talking about homosexuality and transgenderism, things of that nature, it's been amazing to me. My head's not exactly buried in the sand. How many of them are starting to know people within their own family, within their own church that are dealing with this. And more and more of us need help, which is why we're so excited to have Dee Barnes on the show, his wonderful works ministry. And we're also talking about the amazing love event coming up on September 11th. Dee, how are you?
Steve, I'm doing great. It's so great to be back on your show again. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you, and just continue to appreciate your ministry and all that God has done in your life. Well, give us the kind of the quick elevator for people that don't understand his wonderful works. Just tell them a little bit about the ministry and then share your story, because I want people to understand that you're speaking from a position of personal experience and what the Lord has done in your life in order to help other people deal with the same types of issues.
I would love to. So His Wonderful Works is a ministry, and the name comes out of Psalm 26:7 that says, I will publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wonderful works. So that is what we do, go around sharing via testimony and all, you know, telling our stories about God's wonderful work in our life in the areas of family, relationships, and sexuality. So we deal with sexuality across the board and how broken sexuality causes us to have hardships in relationships and family, and quite frankly have conflict with God's word when we're not in, haven't been healed in certain ways. So we come alongside ministries and churches and help other people understand what we've learned in our own walk out of issues of sexual brokenness and my own story coming out of past of sexual abuse and past abortion, which needed much healing in my heart, and a lifestyle of homosexuality for a season of time in my life, and then how God brought me to just a desperate place to cry out to him, and how he brought me out of homosexuality, but also brought healing to my past sexual abuse that affected much of my life. So that's how the ministry got started, and we've been doing this since 2009, and God has just really opened doors. And it's interesting, the culture now versus what it was in 2009 is quite different. So little did we know that it really was going to be a bit different now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's really amazing. And I don't know if you've heard about that book by Carl Truman, but I would recommend it strongly to you. It's got, from a philosophical, theological perspective, really going back about 400 years to see where kind of this notion of the modern self started way before the sexual revolution. But, you know, obviously, Dee, we're talking to Dee Barnes from His Wonderful Works, and we're going to talk about the Amazing Love event in the next segment. But obviously, the culture, the homosexual culture, the transgender culture has clearly come out of the closet. It's out in the open. There's really no shame there anymore. And there's a lot of progress from their perspective. But in terms of the church and kind of inside our own ranks, I still think that D, we're lagging behind, that this is still, when we deal with these issues, it's kind of like unclean, that's like a modern day leper stay on the other side of the street. And we still don't know or aren't equipped very well to handle it. Am I being too skeptical, or do you think that's a big problem for us?
I think it is definitely a big problem. And, you know, I've come to realize that it's not just an LGBTQ issue for the church. It's a sexuality issue for the church across the board. Heterosexual, yeah. Homosexual, that's the big problem. The church has not dealt with our own sexual sin and swept that under the rug, heterosexual sin. Therefore, it's been very difficult to deal with the struggles with LGBTQ, and it's also not an easy, you know, I guess, way to understand that. And that's where our ministry is coming to help the church understand what's behind this whole struggle with LGBTQ. And we've lost the biblical worldview in our culture. So I think that's also why it's much easier to declare. There's no shame now involved in any sexual issue for the most part.
Yeah, and I think one of the challenges, especially, and people have probably heard me use this phrase before. You probably use it fairly regularly, D, is this whole notion of a social contagion. We saw it with something as dark as cutting that all of a sudden became, for lack of a better word, trendy. And now with transgenderism and the amount of kids that are kind of, well, I'm bisexual, I'm homosexual, I'm pansexual, I'm transgendered. It's all over the place now. What do you think's kind of behind that? Because that's obviously, based on the numbers, has increased rapidly.
Right. It's absolutely a contagion. You see it, and you know, in the past, say 10 years ago, for instance, people that struggled with their identity, their sexual identity, really had a real struggle with that, and it was more root-based. Now you have this fad, so to speak, social media, and with the COVID shutdown, you're on the internet, you know, not out. It's even made the internet even more powerful, right, with the social media and relying on all of that and this cultural voice that says, oh, you're born this way, and lack of a biblical worldview itself there too, thinking, well, our feelings drive everything. You know, if I feel this way or that way, we just decide to take on. And I think that it's a huge push. And, you know, and from a biblical standpoint, we know that there's an enemy of our soul seeking to destroy God's image in the first place, of male and female in children, for sure, through sexual abuse and all kinds of things, but through social media as well and all of the pornography that comes forth. And it's just an wide open door that's a battle that I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah, certainly the digital world has thrown fire on this. I mean, the seeds of these sins have existed ever since we got kicked out of the garden. So that aspect theologically is not new, but the environment certainly is new. And the digital aspect of it, throwing gas on that fire, makes it all the worse. We're talking to D. Barnes. His Wonderful Works is the ministry, HisWonderfulWorks.com. We're also going to talk about the Amazing Love event coming up in just like 10 days or 12 days or so, September 11th. D, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to talk it with D, talk about that event, talk some more things about this particular problem and what you can do about it, especially in your family. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And odds are pretty good. Most of you, many of you, maybe a majority of you, know somebody. Or yeah, it's a friend of your sons or your daughters, somebody in your family, a classmate, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody at your church, a family that's dealing with sexual issues, sexual abuse, homosexuality, same-sex attraction, transgenderism, and it's only growing. Have you noticed that? As the culture has changed, that's become a kind of a default thing, and there's not a lot of shame in our culture anymore. And so other people look at it, you throw social media, digital media in there, and it just kind of spins it up even faster. It kind of takes it from a tropical storm to a F5 hurricane. And then you've got a huge problem, and there's a lot of damage in there. And so we need resources. We need help. That's why we're excited to have D. Barnes back on the show today. His Wonderful Works is the website, HisWonderfulWorks.com. We're also going to talk about the Amazing Love event, which I've got both those links up on Facebook Live today, so you can follow that. But these are incredibly important resources. These are things, even if it's not something affecting you, love your neighbor as yourself and share this stuff on your own social media posts and with your church especially, because we need, obviously, a lot more training and a lot more help to be able to engage this, and it's really only getting worse. And like you said, Dee, and again, thank you for your time today, it really is shocking how much all of this has increased, even in just the last 10 years, right?
That's correct. And, you know, one thing we didn't mention a few minutes ago was just the push of trans ideology through government, through schools, through doctors and psychiatry. You know, there are things that are being pushed without really looking at the details, I believe. And some of that is, you know, when you go against the Creator, you lose all sense of common sense, really,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So schools are pushing without parents' consent for children to change their pronouns, what they're going to call their names. I mean, people don't realize what's happening in schools, that they are actually don't have to tell the parents that the child is coming to change themselves at 10 years old.
Yeah.
But then that's not even talking about cross-sex hormones, which I'm sure you talked about all of that with my friend Walt Heyer. So,
yeah.
It's just,
I love Walt.
It's really a scary thing. I mean, you know, if parents are confused and go to a psychologist that says, hey, your child has all the markers of transgender, go ahead and start changing him and giving him or her cross-sex hormones or puberty blockers without talking about the ungodly effects that will happen to their body, and then trans surgery. You don't get to replace that body part when you cut it off, right? To realize that later, oh my gosh, I've made a mistake. And it's just absolute craziness that we've, you know, let this happen, you know, in our country. And
It's
very difficult for parents who really care about their children and that message that's saying your child will commit suicide if you don't let them transition.
Right.
Which, you know, is a false thing. That same suicide rate is more after transition. And it's just not a truth that people are hearing, and it's very difficult to navigate.
And people need to be reminded, Dee. I try to remind people as often as I can. You got to remember that there is the prince, the power of the air, that Satan has a whole lot of room to play down here in the meantime. And he goes right to the garden. He goes after the marriage. He goes after gender roles. He goes after gender itself. He turns the male-female relationship on its head. And so there's these people in the school systems and in the government and in the military now that I look at them and go, all right, the vast majority of them are lost. They do not understand spiritual truths because they're spiritually discerned, and they are easily manipulated and used by our one and only enemy, Satan himself. They don't get that, but we get that. And that's why we have to be in there. It's almost like we look at Kabul, Afghanistan today, and we're like, how are we not going out and rescuing our own people and our allies and the people that helped us? This is the same situation. We need to, as God's people, be going across the wall to rescue and help and bring these resources. So tell us, how do we do that? Like, for you guys, just Dee, with his wonderful works, how do you kind of engage there? And then let's talk about the Amazing Love event, because this kind of all packages it into one event at one time.
That's right. So with His Wonderful Works, we speak every time the doors open, right? In churches, we'll come give testimonies, we'll come give teachings. It doesn't have to be the church. Any kind of group, actually, that wants to hear what we have to offer and support the church and help equip the church with understanding really what's behind it. For the most part, there's, I guess, two segments now. One is just the culture itself that's just lost all, you know, all sense of thought when it comes to just ideology, but then the helping address the true struggler who struggles with their sexual identity, and helping the church to have compassion for those struggling with same-sex attraction or trans identity issues, and also stand for the truth. And I think what we've had in the past is the church is either beating people over the head with the Bible saying you're going to hell if you don't stop acting out this way, or God loves everybody, let's just not say anything.
It's all good.
And somewhere in the middle is this grace and truth that says, God loves you tremendously enough to tell you that he did not create you in a way that's not according to his word, and in compassion and love, but speaking the truth. And I believe we can do that and help understand the root issues behind this, and also give testimony to stand and say, we're not only telling you this, we're showing you our lives have been changed.
Yeah.
You can argue
right.
Scripture all day long, but you can't argue a testimony. You know, once I was blind, now I see. God really took me out and helped me with my same-sex attraction and helped me understand why I was so insecure as a young girl. You know, why was I so insecure as a young girl? There were reasons for that. It didn't just happen.
Yeah, and those testimonies are so powerful. I've had so many different people on the show from different aspects of this particular subject and others, like the abortion concept itself, and people that were the result of rape, and people that they survived an abortion, all kinds of stuff. And those testimonies are so powerful because, like you said, you cannot argue against a person's personal testimony. And these testimonies like yours of this type of miraculous change, which does take time in most cases, is just so powerful.
It's
amazing.
It's not an easy, you know, it didn't take me, you know, a year. It took me three, five, 10 years, you know, of walking this out with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we hold his faith. We are changed from glory to glory, and he'll provide things. So we offer help with discipleship programs. There are discipleship programs in the states, all different states across the country, that can help you out of issues of sexuality and relationship. And that, again, it's heterosexual issues as well as the sexual addictions, the addictions to pornography that are maybe heterosexual, but all the same issues. We all have the same root issues.
That's right.
Just manifest a little bit differently.
Tell us about the Amazing Love event.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. We have an amazing love event that this will be our fourth one. We hold it about every 2 years in Atlanta. And it comes based from Psalm 107 that says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So basically, we from 9 to 6, 9 in the morning to 6 in the evening, we have worship and testimony all day long from testimonies all across the country, California, Texas, Colorado Springs, everywhere, just coming to Atlanta to testify of how God transformed their life out of an issue of sexuality. And the testimonies are 8 minutes long, so it's 8 minutes, 8 minutes, just one after the other, and then we'll have some breakout sessions and ways for people to connect in community. We have the Hope community that is for parents and family learning how to pray for their kids who are not walking according to God's design for their identity and their life, and how do you come against that, but also in love and compassion, how do you respond as a church? So this event is for all Christians, just to come and be equipped, encouraged. It just brings hope, healing, and freedom, and lots of great things for that day. So we're super excited about having it again.
Yeah, and that's down Atlanta, Georgia, September 11th. That's a Saturday, September 11th. And I guess the easiest way for people to find out, just go to your main website, right, HisWonderfulWorks.com, and just click on the upcoming events tab.
Yes, under events tab, you'll see Amazing Love Event. It's actually in Stone Mountain, Georgia, at the Ethiopian Evangelical Church of Atlanta, and just a great day. We'll have speakers on the general session about how should the church respond. You know, how do we do this in love and compassion, but not waver on the truth?
Yeah, that's right.
There's 2 points being made. What I really think is important is thoughts and feelings are not sin.
That's
the
right.
Acting out is what's the sin. If I have a feeling of same-sex attraction,
that's
not
right.
Sin.
And people need to, they need to be taught that, and they need to be given resources, and that's exactly what Dee's going to be doing. HisWonderfulWorks.com, the Amazing Love Event, Saturday, September 11th. I know there's many of you that need to be there, so make sure you check it out. Dee, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back. Great to be with you today. Hope you're going to have a nice weekend, and there's much to pray for. Let's continue to pray for Afghanistan and everything going on around there. And I'll be back to a lot of the news stuff on Monday and Tuesday next week, so never fear, I'll be back talking about that. Appreciate it. Dee Barnes being on. I put those links up on Facebook Live for His Wonderful Works, as well as the Amazing Love Event, dealing with sexual issues, heterosexual, homosexual, transgender stuff. So that's a resource we all need to be aware of. Here's another thing I want you to be aware of. On Friday, September 10th, opening nationwide, a brand new film from Alex and Stephen Kendricks, War Room, Overcomer, Courageous, Fireproof. You know those guys, and they're incredibly talented. This is the most beautiful movie they've done, that I believe. My wife and I watched it a couple weeks ago. We got an advanced screener. And then I had a small showing of the advanced screener last night, not a dry eye in the room. It's such a powerful movie. Show Me the Father. And I had a chance to talk to Alex earlier this week and did an interview with him. So we're going to play that for you this segment and next segment to get you psyched for the opening. This is there's so many things about this movie that are just so powerful. But this is my interview from earlier this week with Alex Kendrick. With all the other movies in the past, Alex, you know, as we look at Overcomer, A War Room, Courageous, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, Flywheel, obviously a lot of content there about fatherhood, but all of a sudden to do it in a documentary form, what was kind of the goal there? How did this come about? What was the genesis of Show Me the Father?
Well, we had just finished Overcomer, and my brother Stephen came to me and said, "Hey, you know, this fatherhood focus is still heavily on my heart. I'm wondering if we could tell true stories in the form of a documentary and just link it to the fatherhood of God." We started praying about that, and God began bringing us these amazing stories. Show Me the Father has 5 stories that will just pull at your heartstrings and make your mouth drop open at times because of some of the true life twists that happen in the story, surprise endings. But ultimately, we wanted people to be able to relate to one or more of these stories and then to look at God the way he wants to be looked at. He's not just God, 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 God. He is Father, Father, Father. You know, Jesus said, teach us to pray. Or when Jesus was asked to teach us to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God wants us to know him as Father and not just God. And he is a loving Heavenly Father. Yes, he's our judge, but at the same time, he wants to have an intimate relationship with us. So we started putting these stories together for this movie, Show Me the Father, not even knowing how it would turn out. And the Lord's hand was all over it. You know, Steve, you've already seen it, and so you know what I'm talking about. But just by the end of the film, you're mindful that God is a perfect heavenly Father, and just He wants an intimate relationship with us, and we're hoping that that helps to bring hope and healing to a lot of people.
Yeah, it was interesting to consider how the Lord might use this. I did want to ask you, I want to get back to that, but I want to ask you about those five stories, because my wife Gina and I just continued to say, and I've never been more paranoid about talking about a movie on the air, because there, spoiler alerts right and left, there are things that happen in this film, in this documentary, Show Me the Father, that just absolutely come out of left field. There's no way to anticipate anything. And it was just shocking. And we kept looking at each other going, how did Alex and Stephen find these stories? How did the Lord get this stuff into your laps? Because some of these sayings, Alex, as you know, are literally hard to believe.
They are. And every single frame is true. So nothing was created. You know, when you do a documentary, you have a theme and you have a topic, but as you're doing all of these interviews, you don't necessarily know what everybody's going to say. You just kind of ask them questions to get them going. Then they tell their story, and we were stunned at what we learned. And so, you know, just watching these stories come together, and then we went back, of course, and shot some B-roll, which is people reenacting the story, but they're all true, and we were amazed. And with each one of them, we had a different perspective on the type of father God wants to be for us, that if we're not connected to God, we can be reconnected, that even there's an adoption story in the movie, in part from my brother and his experience, and there are some twists in there that were just dumbfounding. They were just amazing. Yes. And it was obvious God's fingerprints were all over it. Yes. And so when we're talking about this, and it reminds me that God has adopted us, and He wants to be as much a father to us as He was to Jesus. And he invites us into His family, and He loves us and wants that intimate relationship. And it just broadened my perspective of God as Father. But yeah, these stories, we asked for them. We said, God, would you give us stories that we can tell that will draw people to an understanding and a closer walk with you? And He did.
Yeah, He certainly did, time and time again. I mean, it's one home run after another. I mean, I watched this movie, both my wife and I watched the movie, Alex, as people that do not have father wounds. We both have had, my dad passed a couple years ago, he was 91, incredible father, like you and Stephen have had an incredible father. My wife had an incredible father. And so it was that perspective that I was looking, that was the lens I was experiencing this film through, Show Me the Father. But I wondered, what's it going to be like for people? Because I've been shocked at how many men actually have pretty deep father wounds. I think it's a majority, but I'm not one of them. But what's been the reaction for men that have really struggled? Because that's obviously a part of what we see in Show Me the Father. So there's dads, there's guys that have had good dads, but there's a lot of guys that have had terrible dads or absent dads. So what have you seen God doing there in ministering to these very distinct groups?
Even in our pre-screenings, we've been stunned at the number of people who left the screening and went back and began new communication with an estranged father, or going home and forgiving a father who had wounded them in some way, even if he has passed. We were amazed at that and did not even expect to have that type of impact. But I think what these stories do, it softens your heart, it gives you perspective, and it reminds you of God's great love for you. And when you can receive that, you will process your own experience differently. And so the response has been amazing. You know, this movie is not just entertaining. It will grab your heart. It will make you think. And I think it'll bring a lot of healing. And so it's not something that's going to open a wound and just leave you sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to touch those sensitive parts, but then bring hope and healing. And, even working on it, my realization of God's desire and the type of relationship He wants with me deepened. And, I wish I could just walk you through some of the stories, but there are stories where a son and a father were reconnected through extraordinary circumstances. There's stories of an adoption happening in such a way that God's fingerprints are all over it. There's a story of a very prominent man in a company whose dad was not a good father, died when he was young, And this man was upset that though God had blessed him richly, he wanted that dad. And he sat in his basement when he was going through a hard time, and he said, God, why didn't you give me that dad I could call and talk to? And he said God spoke to his heart so clearly it almost had a tonal quality to it.
Wow.
And he said, God said, haven't I been a good father to you? And it stunned him, and he began to realize God has been a good father to him. You know, he starts looking at all the answered prayer and the way God sustained him through the years, and he realized God has been there the whole time, and he's a perfect father. And just hearing all of these stories are just, man, they're so encouraging and inspirational. And so, again, I can't wait for more men, more families to watch this movie. And by the way, it's not just for men, as you know.
Yeah.
All of us have stories. Yeah, you know, we either tear up because we had such a good dad, or we tear up because our dad hurt us. But in either situation, I think this movie is going to speak to you.
And that's just the first part of my interview with Alex Kendrick. And it really is such a powerful movie. And that was my concern going into it. I like I mentioned, I had a wonderful father. He went to be with the Lord a couple years ago. He was not a spiritual leader in most senses of that phrase. But in terms of inspiring and encouraging and leading you in the right way to lead a productive life and to be a hardworking, responsible individual, he was outstanding. And so there was not really anything negative there. So that was my concern, is this going to open
your,
a wound?
Obviously, your relationship with your father, you that? And Stephen, with your father, is
part of it.
Back
it's part
that.
Of Show Me the Father.
Just hit stop.
And so that was the reason I asked that. And that's why Alex said it doesn't open a wound and leave it open. And it really doesn't. And by the way, they preach the gospel through this. You can go back to the camera too. They preach the gospel throughout this movie. So it's super, super powerful in that regard as well. But it's actually, I call it a documentary. That's what it is. But it doesn't look like a documentary. You know, documentaries are usually kind of rough, out on the street, you know, like I'm like a handheld kind of effect. That's not the deal with Show Me the Father. I think it's the most stunning, visually, it's the most stunning movie that the Kendrick brothers have done. Beyond anything that I've seen them do before, because, you know, they've got Sony for distribution. So these guys have been very successful. God has blessed their efforts. And so the quality of their movies has gone up. Just the same thing has happened to my friends, John and Andy Irwin. When their first one, October Sky, and then they went from there, and then they did Woodlawn. And then it's, I can only imagine the story about Bart Millard at Mercy Me. And then I Still Believe about Jeremy Camp. And they just keep getting better and better because these two sets of brothers, interestingly enough, have been so successful. It's brought a lot of money into the game, which has allowed them to up the quality. Show Me the Father is opening nationwide September 10th. We'll be back after the break with the second half of my recent interview. I just talked to him earlier this week with Alex Kendrick, one of the two Kendrick brothers, Alex and Steven, executive producers to Show Me the Father. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'll be back. Who's pulling the music down so fast? Who's doing that? Did you do that?
No.
All right, Winston-Salem. Warning, warning, warning. Don't pull the music down so fast. I love music, so don't be so quick to pull it down. It gets me in the mood. I'm like, yeah, it's going to get going, and then it's gone. Then I'm like, I'm just going to go home. Forget it. I lost my mojo. I didn't, but there you go. Keith. Help me out, bro. All right, so here's the deal. Spoke to Alex Kendrick earlier in the week. I met those guys a long time ago when they did Fireproof and Courageous. And we did some things here with some friends of mine and a Chick-fil-A owner and sent like 180 firefighters to see Fireproof for free with their wives or dates. And then the local church, Providence Baptist Church, was having a marriage conference and all. It was really cool. And, you know, being an activist, they're like, hey, let's adopt a fire station. I said, oh, forget that. How many fire stations are there in Raleigh? And at the time, there were 31. So, all right, somebody call a fire chief. And they did. And the next thing you know, they took care of the ticketing and everything. We just had to raise like $7,000 or $8,000 to buy all these tickets. And we did. And so at the Chick-fil-A national sales thing, whatever, the following January, my buddy Rally here in Raleigh,
I think they recognized him from the stage in front of all the Chick-fil-A people because it's incredible community outreach. So that's when I first met Stephen and Alex Kendrick. And then I love movies. I've been involved with a lot of Christian movies in different ways. And John and Andy Irwin are good friends of mine. And so it's been a blast. So talked to Alex earlier in this week. Show Me the Father opening September 10th nationwide. Incredible film about fatherhood. Kind of a documentary. But it looks like a regular full feature film. It's the most beautiful film they've done. I mean, the quality's off the charts. So this is the second half of my interview from earlier this week. Roll it. Or not.
How does your, obviously, your relationship with your father, you and Stephen, with your father is part of it. It's part of Show Me the Father, which is the documentary from Alex and Stephen Kendricks that's opening nationwide September 10th. But how does your father, I mean, besides like the scenes that he's in, just his impact on you? Because one of the things that it's kind of like worship, Alex. I mean, we're always worshiping, right? So you're either worshiping well or you're not. And as a father, every father has impact. Even if they never see their kid, that has an impact. But how did your dad impact the fabric of this film and his fathering of you over all these years?
Well, our dad did not have a good father himself, which was our grandfather.
Yeah.
Our grandfather was he was 7 feet tall. He was an imposing person. Unfortunately, he was an alcoholic for most of his life, unfaithful, very inconsistent, not very affirming to my dad and his siblings. And so when my dad was growing up, he did not feel loved. He had a self-esteem issues. But it was when my grandfather was older in his life that he came to know God and became a Christian, turned his life around, and that was significant. So that's the grandfather I knew, but of course he was much older by that point. But when my grandfather was young, not a good father. So my dad, my grandfather's son, of course, my dad grew up with all these issues. And eventually he told God, if you're there, I don't want all this stuff in my life. I don't want fear. I don't want insecurity. I don't want anger. I don't want to be like my dad has been. And I need you to help me change that. And God met him where he was at. And my dad became a Christian. And when he got married and raised the three of us, I'm the middle of three boys. When my dad got married, I didn't see pornography, alcoholism, anger growing up. I saw a father who was striving to walk and honor God, and not perfectly, but man, I saw his heart in that. And so I believed, hey, I want to do those same things. And it was easier for me to believe that God loved me because my dad loved me.
Yeah.
You know? And so my dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in his 40s.
Wow.
And went into depression for a time in his life because he was like, I don't want to be a burden on my family. The doctor's telling me I'm just going to degrade. He said, I don't want to be a burden on other people. But God met him where he was at and reminded him, Larry, I love you. I am here for you regardless of your circumstance. And I'm allowing you to have this multiple sclerosis because it's going to strengthen your faith and broaden your ministry. And man, it's unbelievable how God did that. I mean, so many people came to my dad after that and said, how do you walk with God in the midst of multiple sclerosis?
Yeah.
And we watched MS amplify dad's influence and ministry in a way I never could have imagined. And so we saw it as a bad thing. God used it as a good thing. And when my dad, he eventually went on to start a Christian school from his wheelchair. It's been going 25 years. Wow. Thousands of students that now know the Lord are out there making a difference in the kingdom. He would not have done that had he not got multiple sclerosis. So when it came time for us to do Christian films, we were like, we can do this. We watched our dad, The Impossible. If he can do that with the Lord's help, we can make movies with the Lord's help. And the Lord has helped us the whole way.
Yeah, your dad was a very good steward of his affliction. But we usually look at those things and go, that's the thing that's going to ruin my life. No, that could be the thing, and many times it is, if we turn it over to God, that will actually make your life. And God just doubles and triples and quadruples that. It's really amazing. Anything kind of surprise you, Alex, in making this one? Anything out of the ordinary? Anything different than all the other films for you experientially?
I think my own perspective of God is different. Mm. Though I always believed in him, knew he was the Father, I am more aware now at the daily intimate relationship I have with him as father and not just the role of God, though he is. So I'm not taking anything away from that. He is God, but he is as much, if not more, father than he is sitting on the throne as God. He wants to walk with me every day. He wants to, you know, hear my praise, but also my needs, and to go to him through Christ, of course. But so I am much more aware and sensitive to his role as father than just God. And it's beautiful. It encourages me the way I pray. And again, I was already a person of prayer, but the way I pray, my mindset, it's like me not just seeing my wife as a wife, but an intimate friend as well, you know, and so it's almost like, this is the way I would describe it. The more I learn about God, it's like I found a new room that was always in my house, but I had never opened the door and walked in.
Yeah.
You know, it was always there. And so it's like, hey, look at this room. Now I know something even more about my property, you know,
and it ends up being the best room in the house.
Yeah. It's a whole nother room of my house that it was always there, but I never understood how to walk through that door. And so this movie has even broadened my own perspective and my faith. And so it's wonderful. You know, so again, show me the Father. It comes from when the disciples asked Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My attributes are his attributes.
Right.
If you know what I'm like, I love you. I'm walking with you. I die for you. I want to heal you. I want to help you. Well, God is the exact same way.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Well, I can't believe this, that it's the 10th anniversary of Courageous. That's just mind-boggling to me. I'm glad we don't age as fast as these movies do. But you guys are re-releasing it, so it's coming back out, re-release. What's different about it, and what's the point? Why re-release it?
Well, the principles in Courageous that we released 10 years ago is just as applicable today, if not more so, than they were to dads 10 years ago. And another generation of men have become dads in the last decade. There's so many men that weren't holding their children a decade ago, and now they are, and they're beginning to look at this role differently. So we thought, it's been 10 years, should we re-release it? But we just didn't want to re-release it. We wanted to do something different. So we asked Sony for the leeway to crack open the edit, to re-edit scenes that we wanted to move a little smoother, to add scenes back into the movie, add new shots, and then put a new ending where you get to see where all the characters ended up 10 years later. I've never seen a film without using special effects that you literally see the people age 10 years in that one film. I'm not talking about a sequel. I'm talking about the one film where they literally age 10 years. And so we've done that. And then we went back and recolored it, added new score, special effects, things like that. So this is by far the best version of Courageous. We're calling it Courageous Legacy. And so when you see it, it will feel familiar while still looking very fresh.
Yeah, that's super cool. And we don't often get a do-over in life. So to be able to go back and kind of freshen something up and add to it is pretty awesome. The only person in that whole cast that I would think might be nervous about an extra 10 years would be Kevin Downs.
Well, you're going to like his storyline then. I mean, you're going to think amazing what happens, because he's back in the film.
That's cool.
Javier, who is the Snake King's back in the film. He does some callbacks and we do a new scene with him that's hilarious, but it's just – it was fun to get the band back together, so to speak.
No kidding.
And to shoot.
And when's that one releasing?
September 24th. It's 2 weeks after Show Me the Father. So you can go see Show Me the Father with your church or your group, family, whatever. 2 weeks later, Courageous comes out. They both have a strong fatherhood focus. So we hope that they work really, really well together.
And there you go. That's that pretty cool 1-2 punch, isn't it? Now, a little side note there. So I've known Kevin Downs for a while. He played the bad guy in that movie. Kevin Downs has done a lot of stuff with John and Andy Irwin. He's been in the movie business for a long time. You'd recognize him. A Mom's Night Out, Kevin Downs was in that as well. So Kevin's a really funny guy. I've known him for a while. And so my joke with Alex was like, I don't think Kevin's going to like this whole 10 years later thing. That meaning he hasn't aged well. That was just joking. That was just ribbing. He's actually aged just fine. He's a good-looking guy. But, oh well, I tried. It didn't happen. Sometimes jokes fall flat. Anyway, I hope you'll go see Show Me the Father opening nationwide September 10th. And that I put the link up for. And then Courageous, the 10th anniversary Courageous, where they added scenes. It got like 10 years later.
as the members of the cast and their character. So you catch up with them 10 years later at the end of the movie. That'll be cool. That's opening nationwide September 24th. Show Me the Father on September 10th and Courageous Legacy, the 10th anniversary, on September 24th. So that's pretty exciting. Thank you, Lord, for that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And my, like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.